Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back. I am elated, honored, delighted, jumping out of my skin as I normally am with pink sparkle floating everywhere right now, because today I'm bringing on the amazing, the one and only Sherry Salata. And I know for those of you guys who have followed us for a long time, you've heard me, but Sherry this, Sherry that, Sherry's amazing. And so now Sherry is here to talk to us about her own journey as a woman, as a very professional woman, as a high octane woman who is now a transformational doula and has her own company. But wait for it, spent 20 years in the world of Oprah, when let's just say when Oprah was Oprah, when everybody in the world wanted to sit on that couch, Sherry was the wizard of the Wizard of Oz. And so Sherry, thank you for being here with us.
Bella, we should tell everybody, Bella and I are friends. We're real close. I was not the Wizard of Oz, Bella. I know. I like to brag on my friends too. But, you know, it was an amazing team and a once in a lifetime ride. And it set me up. It set me up for my life now. And I'm so beyond appreciative that I had that crazy, crazy all-consuming experience.
I mean, I can't even imagine what that was like behind the scenes of that show. I've been behind the scenes of many shows and seen a little bit of the dynamics, but that was like the show of shows of our lifetime.
That was, you know, it's almost like there was so much divinity in that, so much divine coming together. Everybody was there for a reason to make their contribution. The women of the world at that moment in time asked for support, asked to be seen, and boom, next thing you know, there was it. And it's kind of the olden days in media. You know, there wasn't a big 5,000 cable channels and streaming and
no,
you know, and all that. So it was just like, who can, like, can I turn on a channel and listen to something that makes me feel better? And that really was the Oprah show. It really had, it was on a divine mission. So it was great and hard and crazy, all of it.
And Sherry and I were reminiscing before we turned the microphones on. We are great friends, dear friends, and have been for years. And we were actually the first person that connected me to Sherry was my friend Debbie Phillips of Women on Fire. And Sherry's great friends with Debbie and I am. And Debbie just said, oh, Bella, Sherry gave an amazing keynote at the Women on Fire conference. I think you two need to know each other. And when Debbie gave me the little booklet, because she used to do these fun books about like every person that came to a conference and their interview. And I remember reading your story and thinking, I love the moxie from this girl from Waukegan, Illinois, because little fact known, Sherry and I were both born in Waukegan, Illinois, up near the Wisconsin border. But Sherry, tell us, how did you get your foot in the door at the Oprah show? Because this is just a story of hustle.
It's the craziest. Well, you know what it is the story of? It's the story of the girl who was not in alignment, who wanted so much and just kept going about it the hard way. And so I actually went to the University of Iowa, as a lot of Chicago area people do, and graduated with no plan in place.
At
one point, I was going to be a doctor, then a lawyer, then a this, then a that. So finally, the truth is, I in my late 20s, I finally got a big break after having a myriad of different jobs. And a great guy taught me how to be an executive producer. He taught me how to produce, but we were doing advertising, television commercials. And so I applied at that Oprah show thinking, I think I'd really like to do that. And I got rejected. And it was a few years later than when I got a message on my answering machine that, hey, we were cleaning out a closet. Wow. We found your reel and your resume. Will you come in and freelance? And I was 35, Bella.
Oh my God.
35. I was broke. I was depressed. I was like, I'm never going to have the life of my dreams or the job of my dreams. And, you know, I give it to myself. I just would not give up. I was not going to sell out. I would not give up. I knew that my work was supposed to be a mission, and I knew it was supposed to be take all of me, and I knew it was supposed to be really fun and really exciting. And so I hung in there until the door opened.
Oh my gosh. And now you said you wanted to be a doctor and all kinds of things. Was being a TV producer, was that ever in your potential bailiwick of ideas or no?
No, it wasn't. It should have been because, you know, I was putting on plays with my little cousins as my cast and, you know, making the aunts and uncles be the audience. And I was producing from my earliest memory, but I didn't even think that was a thing. Like, I wasn't connected. I wasn't hooked up. I didn't know anybody who knew anybody. Oh. I wasn't to the manor born, as they say. And so I just thought it was out of my grasp, but I did want to be something, which is why the doctor thing and then the lawyer thing, I'm like, that's something. That's you got a nice briefcase and you wear a nice little suit to work. And, you know, I was on a search for who am I supposed to be and what am I supposed to do?
Wow. And along comes this opportunity. And now you're working at the advertising company. You get this reel and they find your reel and they're like, do you want to come in? And so what do you do?
Yeah. Well, I actually was freelancing by that time and I was out of money. And so what did I do when I read? It was an actual actual answering machine with tape.
Back oh my God. Send and that to I the Smithsonian.
Oh yeah, the Smithsonian. I wish I still had it. For a while there, I had the resume that had a woman named Harriet Seitler from Highland Park had come in and taken over as creative services director. And she had very high, she had great taste. And she didn't want to bring in another local TV person. She goes, you know, let's look and find an advertising producer to come in. Wow. And by the grace of God, my reel was there. Dang. And, you know, and so it began.
Wow. And how, tell us about your ascendancy.
Yeah. I mean, there was no let me just put it this way. There was no possibility that I was going to ever be the executive producer or I was ever going to be a senior producer on the show. The structure wasn't made like that. I was in the basement in the promo department and maybe I could become a senior promo producer, but that was going to be it. There wasn't a lot of crossover between support departments and the production team that actually did the show. So there was no way, no chance. So nobody is more surprised than me that any of this took place at all. And I will tell you, they were all shocked as well. So, you know, it's, again, there's so much about the experience, you know, from in a global view, which is, you know, divine order. This must have been a little piece of that too, because it shouldn't have happened. I never thought it would happen. But it did.
Wow. And the girl from the basement became the girl with the corner office.
Yes. Yes.
Amazing. A little hard work, a little hustle. And, you know, if I can ask you this, I'm sure you're asked this 1,000 times. What's your favorite Oprah story or your Oprah show story?
So many. And you know, Bella, to be honest, most of it's a blur. It was crazy. It was
fast.
Just
fast.
A whirl, and it was crazy. And You know, it was fun doing those Oscar shows the morning after the Oscars. We took the whole audience to Australia for a few weeks. I love Australia so much. We, you know, put a big red O on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. I mean, so many things. And you know, probably the last shows, the shows at the United Center, which were huge and challenging to do. So many things. You know, I liked it all. You know, I liked the silly stuff. I liked the important, meaningful stuff. I liked the educational stuff. I liked the spiritual stuff. And I probably most liked the spiritual stuff because I really feel like that experience, it was like being paid to build a spiritual life. It was exposure to new thought leaders and thinking that I don't think I would have ever come across it. So it was a transformative path for me for sure. And let me say this. And turns out it was just the foundation for what came next. And there's no such thing as glory days unless you make it so. But now I see that was the thing that led to this, that led to this, that led to this. And so now I say, oh, all that got me ready for something else.
Wow. So in the background, you're hustling, you're sparkling, you're doing all of this. You moved to California and now the bricks are being laid for something else unbeknownst to you. What was the moment that you sort of said, wow, I think something else is out there for me. And how did you make that pivot?
I think everything has its time. I think it was time. It was time. I, to be honest, I didn't particularly love the cable business. And as you can see, as it's changing so rapidly, I mean, it's a hard business, really, really hard. And, you know, I had the, you know, one of the top seats and the worst job. You know, and it was far away from the things I really loved. So, and also I was tired.
Yeah.
I was a lot tired and maybe even a little sad. And so it was the end. It was the end. It was time. And it launched, you know, what it did was it was time for everybody all the way around to move on. And what it did was it gave me this breath and this pause to kind of do a process that I now call the reckoning, which is, okay, you have been on a tear for 20 years. How's it going? Do you like your life? Do you like what you've created? And, you know, it was very much the dream come true career, but not the dream come true life. And so that was like, whoa, okay. I remember I did this exercise that, you know, all the biggies would had something similar to this, which was called, I call it the tombstone exercise. And it's like, what would your tombstone say right now?
Wow.
And mine was here lies Sherry Salata. She had a great job for a long time.
Wow.
And I was like, that's not exactly what I would like, but I got time to change it. And that's that. Those are the glad tidings that I bring to everybody listening today to realize, okay, that's where I'm headed. I got time to change this. And what I want my tombstone to say is, here lies Sherry Salata. She lived the full on joyride.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's really where I'm at today. I really keep my focus, Bella, on simple, easy, be in flow. Don't try to make anything happen. Allow it to happen. Watch for the breadcrumbs. You know, the universe is laying down breadcrumbs. Get quiet. Look for them. Look for the signs. Listen to the whispers. Do it. Like, really, really allow the universe to guide you to everything you say you want. And for a person who got so rewarded for making things happen, it's a lot of new patterning I still have to do for myself. I still have to say, hold on, Let's not do it the old way. What is it you really want? What's in your heart? Can you slow your roll here and allow it to happen? And that has brought me to this moment where I can tell you in no uncertain terms, I have never been more on purpose, more filled with joy, more in love with my life and myself than I am right now.
Ever. Oh, who else has goosebumps head to toe right now?
Ever.
And so many of you listening to this are at these junctures in your life, and maybe you're holding down and you're pushing down on that reckoning that Sherry's talking about, because you know, so many of you are, you know, I work with you, you're doctors, you're lawyers, you're blah, blah, blahs, you're blah, blah, blahs, and you're the good girl and you've been in the box, or you're the good boy and you've been in the box, and you know, there's something more to it. And one of my favorite quotes ever is, change happens in an instant. It doesn't take years to make these decisions, right? Those inflection points in our lives come as soon as we let them, to some extent. So you let your reckoning happen. And for someone, and if you're sitting there driving your car, you're on the elliptical, or you're doing whatever it is, understand how inspiring just this bit is. Is someone who have like the top seat next to the queen of two decades, now downshifted, pivoted, started her own business, and says, I've never had a juicier, more joyful life. I mean, that chair, big hug and high five over the screen. And I know. And what's so beautiful now is you've written a book about all of it, and you're teaching people how to do what you did, have their reckoning. So talk to us first about the book, and then tell us about the work that you've done and you're teaching others to do, because it's unbelievable.
Well, The Beautiful No, which is my memoir, really is about all the pitfalls, the mistakes, all the ways that I went around things the hard way. So for younger people, I say it's a cautionary tale. And for people my age, I say it's a rallying cry, because that's what I'm saying. It's not too late. I tell you right now, I've never been happier, more fulfilled, more on purpose. And I promise you, my plan and intention is for 2 years from now to be able to say that again. Because I'm going to keep expanding. I'm going to keep manifesting. I'm going to keep calling it in. I'm going to keep releasing shame and all the things, the limiting beliefs that keep us stuck. And, you know, I continue. I'm in this work 24/7, and I still have things come up where I'm like, where'd that come from? Why am I triggered about that? Why do I even care about that? And, you know, what I see is, until my last breath, I'm going to be creating and innovating and releasing and expanding and healing. So now that I know that, what else can I make space for? And I call it doing the work, but it's really not work, Bella. It's just really, you know, creating new practices and patterns that keep your feet on the path of transformation. And as long as your feet are on the path, it means you're focused on where you want to go, and not always brooding about what isn't arrived yet. What haven't you solved for yet? And I want to keep my feet on the path, because as long as I do that, I know I am transcending. I know that I am casting a light for others, which is what the gift we can all give one another, and others are casting a light for me.
I love that. And if you could give a our listeners something. If they're like, wow, I feel like the reckoning's bubbling up. I'm listening to Sherry. I can feel the lava juice. I can feel it sort of coming up. How do you start the work? How do you even answer the question? So many of us have been in service. We're givers. We've stopped. We're producing everybody else's lives. Yes. We don't even know what we want. One of the questions I always ask is, what do you want? How do you recommend people start the work?
Yeah. First of all, make a promise to yourself to be not afraid.
Wow.
Be not afraid. Mm-hmm. It is fear that robs us of our last two or three decades. Be not afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. Make a friend of change, because change is coming. People are going to come and people are going to go. And you'll be okay with that. You'll get through that. As long as you've formed a new relationship with yourself, there's nothing you can't transcend. I think the way to get started is to, number one, I like to call them governing decisions. So this isn't just a little fly-by-night decision. This is a governing decision that it is not too late for me.
Oh, I love
that. To create the life I say I want. Mm. And once you make that governing decision, the universe shows up in interesting ways. You know, there are a million things that can happen for you, but the phone will ring. Someone will be like, hey, do you want to go for a walk? Kind of going through your life and saying, I need to add more movement. I need to add more water. I need to add more plants. I need to add a 2-minute meditation I can do 5 times a day, a little 5 deep breaths, and do things. These create your practices so small that you know you could do those practices every day for the rest of your life. And that's the beginning. And day after day after day, you start to feel a little better. And you start to feel a little bit more like the life manager you must become.
Of yourself.
You become the steward of your own well-being. Nobody else is going to do it. Mm. I love it. Some guys I know, guys, they're like legends, but they wrote a book. And I don't remember, who's in the room? Who's in your room? Who's in your room? And the premise is this, that you're also the bouncer. Why do you just have an open door and anybody can get in? You're the bouncer.
Get them out.
Not everybody should be in your room. And you shouldn't be saying yes to everything. And you know, how do you start setting boundaries? I find for women in the middle to late middle of life, It's going to be a hard thing to face, but most of your relationships are codependent.
Yeah.
That's now you've just been raised by people who weren't trained, and they were raised by people who weren't trained, and all this information, this leading edge, therapeutic information, spiritual information has shown us now that we are not to be serving everybody and not ourselves. That there's nothing spiritual about that. In fact, you just end up stuffing down your resentment.
Totally.
100%. And really killing yourself. It's the death of dreams. So it's just beginning to help yourself uncover the knowing inside that there is more for you, that it is possible, and that you are worthy of more joy, more love, more expansion, more fun, more adventure. And the only thing standing in your way is you.
Mm. Say it again for the people in the back.
The only thing standing in your way is you. And that means that's very good news, because you can say, I'm not standing in my way anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to let it flow. I'm going to let it all in. I'm going to start dreaming again, and I'm going to believe again, and I'm going to stir that pot of hope and get it going.
Mm. I can feel myself like bubbling with the things that you're saying, with positivity. It's like, get rid of the fear. What makes
get a little peace? Get a little peace. You start stirring that pot of hope. Maybe I could. Why can't I? Maybe I could. Maybe I could. You get a little piece of that, a little hold on that. Next thing you know, you're off to the races. And next thing you know, like, your mind is just taking you into possibilities and potential and, you know, things you could do and the kind of work you can create and the kind of love you can have and the kind of relationships you really want in your life. Not the ones that suck you dry, the ones that elevate you and lift you up.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that. And I can feel this washing over me. And I know I harked your title at the beginning, your transformation doula. I mean, it's obvious you're showing us and not telling us what you do, because I'm sure the molecules in everybody right now are like, oh my God, it's possible for me. I could do this. What is a transformation doula?
I know.
What is your work in the world now with people?
Well, I do not choose to be an expert. And I've seen them all and
every one of them,
a good portion of them. And here's what I see. What I see that it's a difficult road when you cast yourself in that light. So what I say is, I am on the path. And I'm putting out my elbows. And if you want to link arms with me and walk down that path, then let's go. And so what does that look like? It's more like, I've taken some steps. I've done it myself and I've done a lot of things. So let me shine the light a little bit. So I'll let me be your doula. So what does that look like? It's very much evolved. I can't even believe it. I mean, like 2 years ago, I didn't know I'd be doing any of this. And it's just been very much inspired and divinely led and a co-creation. And I do a digital course called Change Your Story, Change Your Life. That's 12. I do it live workshops for 12 weeks and I do it twice a year. I'm in the middle of my latest cohort right now. I have a private membership group for women called The Support System, where I bring in experts like Miss Bella, and we keep ourselves on the path together. So I get to do some producing, bringing in experts, having events. It has the advantages of social media, but it's not. It's off Facebook. It's off everything. It's private. It's a big old global sacred circle for sure. And then I do some trips, you know, for people who want to go and have not only an adventure, but an awakening. I do some things like that. So I'm just really doing what I want to do, Bella.
I love this. Well, you're everybody's transformational doula, including mine. So I just love being in your presence. And I'm so glad that you are doing the work that you're doing, not only for others, but that, like you said, you're linking arms, you're putting your elbows out and saying, come join me. I'm not perfect. I'm still transforming and I will continue to transform.
There's more to do
while I'm
more
in this body. More to do, because there's more to do, because as you start to build this new life, new things appear and you're like, oh, I also want to learn that. I want to go in that direction. I want to live here. And as you gain the courage, when you get rid of those mind monkeys and those cement blocks of fear, right? All of a sudden, the world is your oyster. And if you can hear this, right? Sherry is not 21 years old or 31, and she's transforming her life over 50, right? So if you're sitting there going, oh my God, I'm 50. Wow, 50 ain't what it used to be, okay?
It isn't what it used to be. Yeah, I started this when I was 56.
Oh my
gosh. I still feel like I'm just getting going. You know, you and I were talking off mic before we started, that what this has allowed me to do. I mean, obviously work has been my thing, to the exclusion of a lot of other things, to the exclusion of love, to the exclusion of creating a family other than my four-leggeds, and because I was good at it. And it answered some wounds too, because, you know, for a lot of us, and you guys can all have this conversation with yourself. Do you equate achievement with worthiness? You know, for some of us, that started in the second grade with the first spelling bee and papers getting graded. Do you equate achievement with worthiness? Well, guess what? That was a big surprise to me. That was in 2019 when I was out on my book tour, and I was like, oh my God, I have a terrible, I put those things as the same thing. It's so not true.
Right.
I've been telling myself that lie forever, which is why you get to the top of the mountain of achievement and you're like, well, this ain't all that.
Right.
Why am I not super happy? I'm just kind of like, which happens to a lot of people in the middle of life, whether you've had a big career like mine or you raised a family and all that that means. And you're like, well, here I am. Is that all there is?
Right.
And I understand that feeling. I understand that feeling. And my answer to that is no. No. Put your hands on the wheel, open your heart and open your mind and start dreaming. There's more. There's so much more. And you can be happier and more on purpose and more filled with joy than ever before. And I haven't even conjured my mate yet, the lid to my pod yet, Bella.
Okay, Cher, let's go there now. Where you and I talked a few weeks ago and you said, Belle, 2023, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the call.
I've done some warm-up dating, which was, that was a big step to even to put on a heel and some lipstick and get out of the house. So I've done a little warm-up dating, and here's what I realize. I've healed enough where it isn't, I'm not psychotic on a date. That's what's like, I don't want to reactivate that psychotic woman I was in my 30s, where I'm always mostly interested in what won't pursue me, and what will pursue me, I'm like, and I'm like, I'm not psychotic anymore. This is just a lovely meeting of another human being and a sip of wine and something to eat. So I've calmed myself. I see that I've done enough healing that I won't reactivate that old behavior that I did not enjoy. The second thing I want to say is that, and this has been really recent, Bella, maybe even like the last 4 or 5 months, it's like, I see that I'm creating space. I see that I'm creating space. I'm slowing some things down. I'm simplifying some things to create space that gives me the opportunity to think about what I want. What do I want in an intimate partnership? I have space to noodle on that in a way that I'm like, well, I can't think about that now. I've got all this stuff to do. So, and that's really just self-protective. So it's just like, let's just create some space. Here's what we know. You can have what you want. You can have what you want. So let's just start to create some space and call that in. And so who knows, Bella? I might be down doing some pictures with you in 2023.
At Cher, Smart Dating Academy always has a VIP spot for you, my friend. And I know for a fact that when you and I first connected, was it 2016? When was Belle V? 2016?
Yeah.
7 years ago.
Yeah.
Your first volley to me is, yeah, I'm not ready for what you do. We'll talk about it on my podcast,
but
I'm not here.
Slow down, lady.
Right here. Yeah. And so now for me to hear this, and I'm not the pusher of anybody. You're ready for this. You don't know it, right? Because people need to have their own journeys. And when people come to
I had some healing to do, Bella, for sure. I had some healing to do, and knew that it's like, brother, I'm just coming out of a fog. I have some healing to do, and yet, you know, I'm also checking myself. I'm also checking myself, like, don't keep putting that off. So just get in the pool already and see what it is you want. you know, and you're not going to be robbed of your, you know, I don't know. I've, you know, like, where do you get these notions? You know, I watched my parents when I was little, and my mom had the worst end of the bargain. She was like the family maid, the family babysitter, the family cook, and her job was 24/7. I was like, absolutely not.
Unpaid.
Unpaid. And like my dad would saunter in and, you know, God bless him, and he'd sit down and, you know, he'd not to be disturbed while he watches the news and, you know, and golfs on the weekends, and my mom's still working. I was like, that is a shitty bargain.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of those formative things really did a number on me. So I have to unpack that and say, no. You're a grown ass woman. You can make your own agreements.
Yes.
And, you know, for partnership, you can really have those conversations and make your own agreements. So that's what I say. I mean, healing, making space, getting excited, seeing how that could be, that's like the next version of my life. And I mean, just what I'm telling you, I can't even imagine being more joyful, more appreciative, more on purpose, but I guess I can. I guess that's the next level.
100%. And here's what I would tell you. People often come to this place where, gosh, I'm so happy finally on my own. Like, do I want someone? Do I need somebody? I'm like, well, as humans, we're sort of driven to pair bond, right? We kind of like that one person. And I will tell you what, you said it correctly. The right person, the lid to your pot, will be an and to your beautiful life. It's not an or. It's not, if I find a man, old bad story is, I'm going to become the nurse in the purse. Right? That is not what you're going to become. This can be a beautiful partnership with someone who, I don't know if you remember this, we talked about this on the podcast, on your podcast years ago when I came to LA. And I still have this vision for you where you have met the lid to your pot, and I'm closing my eyes because I can visualize it so perfectly. And your boo is standing in the back of the room. He's got a tuxedo on. He looks dashing and dapper, and he's elbowing the guy next to him. And he's like, and you're up on the stage. You've got the mic because you're transformationally doula-ing all of us at this point. And you're wearing sequins and you're sparkling. And he elbows the guy next to him. He's like, can you believe I got her? And he's beaming and he's proud. And he's like, I swam out of my lane. Look at that. And he couldn't be prouder of you. And that is who's waiting for you.
That is the dream, my friend. That is the dream. And yes, I think that's possible.
I know it's possible. And I'm here for all of it because that's the transformational doulaing that I do. So that's what you do.
That's right.
Girl, that is 100% possible for you. And the fact that I'm hearing you say 2023, I'm feeling the bubbly things coming up. Great. And I hope that listening to Sherry, for you, dear listener, who might be driving, and maybe you've been listening to this podcast for a year and you're like, man, I don't know. I've got some work to do. Do the work. Have your reckoning. Let it bubble up. No, there is hope for you. Look at what Sherry has done with her life, right? Pivoted, more joyful than ever, did more work while creating that joy, and is now saying, I think I could find the lid to my pot. And I think that there are many lids to my pot, and they could be in all these different zip codes, but isn't that exciting? And I get to just go out and date and meet new friends, and it's low stakes, and I'm not chasing, and nobody's chasing me. And this is going to feel peaceful and lovely. And that is how your love journey will go.
That's how it will go. It will be very easy because that's how everything is going now. I just won't get in the heart on the hard road anymore. No. I know what that hard road is. It's a lot of pushing and maneuvering and manipulating and, you know, talking into, and the hard road is no fun. And it's false excitement. You know, because we're like, wow, that's so easy. Maybe that's not so exciting. Listen, these days, ease and flow is the most exciting thing I've ever experienced.
Absolutely.
It's so exciting. When the phone rings, or you run into somebody, or you pick up and have the perfect answer, or somebody says, hey, you should go check out Georgia. And I'm like, Georgia? Who knows? I could be moving there in 3 months. You just don't know.
You just don't know. And that's why I will be right along your side, because yes, we want to make sure that it is flowing and it is easy.
Yes.
And sometimes we think easy is what we knew in the past, and we want to step onto a roller coaster, even though we don't know it.
No.
So I'm here for all of it, Sherry.
All right, Bella, I'm signing you up. You're going to be my love guru.
Girl, I'm right here for you. Well, you have a free gift for our listeners.
I do. So you were asking me how do you even begin? And so here's an easy thing to do. So I put together this workbook. Nothing's more important in imagining your life than the words you're going to choose to use, what you're going to say, the story you're going to tell about your life. So I have a workbook that'll help you get going. It's at sherrysalata.com/10, the numbers 10 words. And that's it. Change 10 words, change your life. And people cannot even believe the transformation they experience just by taking those first few little steps. So I believe in it. I believe in it. It works for me, and I know it can work for anybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I love you, my friends.
I love you so much, Bella.
2023 is your year.
Ooh, I'm making all a big heart.
Hold on. I have one for you right here.
Look at that.
Okay. Blessed by a shaman in Mexico. So this is your heart. So this is how I have this sitting right here for you.
I love that, Bella.
That was my wish for you at the end of this. So this is going to be a fantastic year. And for all of you, I want you to think about the things that you want in your life, the joy you want, the love you want, the life you want. Start saying, talk to the hand, give all these things in your life that you don't want anymore. The beautiful no, it's okay. Like Sherry said, to ask people to leave the room. You are the bouncer of your life, and know that it is all possible. Sherry created a life that she loves. I've created a life that I love. You just have to break through. And the beauty is that it's all within you already. How magical is that?
It's so magical. It's so magical. And your life should be magic. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bella, I love you so much. Thank you for having me on.
I love you. You will be back.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.